the latest medical guidance regarding COVID-19. Just when many of us were breathing a sigh of relief and finally getting together with those we've missed, the story of the pandemic has shifted again. Case counts are creeping back up, more COVID patients are in the hospital, and the Delta variant is growing stronger. People who have been vaccinated are wondering if they ought to start wearing masks again or cancel their travel plans. Those who got the J&J vaccine wonder if they ought to get a second dose. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will discuss the latest news about COVID-19 and its impact in Maine with medical leaders at two of Maine's major hospital systems. What are your questions as you follow the news? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Earlier this month, Maine saw record lows in COVID positivity rates, but those numbers are edging upward. We'll find out from our medical experts what advice they have about public health and safety at this stage of the pandemic. My guests today are Dr. James Jarvis, who is Senior Physician Executive in System Incident Command at Northern Light Health, and Dr. Dora Mills, Chief Health Improvement Officer at Maine Health. Email talk at mainpublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. We're here to answer your questions again, 1-800-399-3566. Dr. Jarvis, Dr. Mills, thank you so much for returning to Maine Calling. Know how valuable your advice is as we try to make sense of the news that just keeps coming and just keeps changing. Let's start by Dr. Mills. Let me ask you, and I'll ask you the same question, Dr. Jarvis. What are we seeing today in terms of hospitalizations, not just how many people are in the hospital, but how serious is their infection? And also, what are their ages and what do we know about how they contracted COVID? Is it the Delta variant?
Yeah, so at Maine Health, most of our hospitalizations, people who are hospitalized with COVID are at Maine Medical Center, some at a couple of other hospitals. The numbers of people hospitalized are staying pretty steady. So, and I believe that's the case statewide as well. So we've had about the same number of people hospitalized over the last 3-4 weeks. They are trending younger than they were a year ago, for sure. They're from all over Maine. I think about maybe a month ago, they were very much from rural Maine. I would say now it's a much more diverse geographical range that they're from. So from all over the state. The one thing they have in common by far is that the very, very vast majority of them are unvaccinated. We are also seeing an uptick in outpatients with COVID. So we're seeing more people who are not sick enough to be hospitalized, but they're being seen in the emergency room or in outpatient practices, and they're testing positive for COVID. And a lot of them coming in thinking they've got the summer cold, that they've got kind of cold-like symptoms, but feel maybe a bit worse than they would than from a normal cold. And they are testing positive for COVID. Now we are, as you know, we are testing a sample of nasal swabs for the Delta variant. We're doing that just to help the state with surveillance for tracking the disease, not for clinical issues, because you treat it the same, whether it's the Delta variant or another variant. And so we are, Nordics Labs, which is the lab that Maine is our reference lab for Maine Health, they've been testing a sample, and the majority right now are the Delta variant. So not a lot of change from 3 weeks ago, and it's really about the same as what we would expect. We expect the Delta variant is now accounting for 83% of the cases estimated around the country. And that's about the same what we're seeing from our preliminary data that Nordics Labs does to screen for different variants. And of course, the Maine CDC, then we send those samples to them and they confirm those, but that takes a while for the full genetic sequencing to happen. So no surprises, but definitely see an uptick in outpatients inpatients about the same, but the very vast majority of them are unvaccinated who are hospitalized.
It's been reported widely that nationwide, more than 99% of those people in the hospital have not been vaccinated. Is that about the same number here in Maine?
Who are not vaccinated. Is that right? What you said? Yeah. That's, I don't know the exact data on that, but I know that runs, that's what we're seeing at Maine Health and our hospitals around the state and New Hampshire, is that it's the very, very vast majority who are sick enough to be hospitalized are unvaccinated.
Dr. Jarvis, what are the numbers and what kind of patients are you seeing in the hospital, Northern Light Health hospitals?
So very similar to what Dora said, but we've been a little bit more fortunate as far as hospitalizations go. In fact, today's numbers, we only have two people that are inpatients across our 10 hospital system who are positive for COVID-19, and none at Eastern Maine Medical Center in Bangor, which is, you know, phenomenal. If you remember, at one point, Eastern Maine Medical Center had the most patients for a short period of time, we've actually gone now 3 days without having a patient who's been positive for COVID. But like Dora, we have seen an increase in the number of patients on an outpatient basis who are positive over the last few weeks, and especially over the last week, our positivity rate has once again gone above that 1% mark. And so that was, you know, at one point that was our threshold for considering that Maine was starting to have some issues. Our hospitals are busy and they are full, but thankfully they are not with individuals who have COVID. I will echo what Dora said too about the who we're seeing who are becoming positive, and it is trending lower. Yesterday's numbers across the state, many of the individuals were not only younger than 40, they were younger than 20. And so I think that should be a cause for concern for people that, you know, this is now becoming a disease of the unvaccinated and particularly younger individuals.
And talking about that upward creeping trend, Dr. Jarvis, are you concerned that this is going to turn into another surge?
Well, you know, that's always our worry, and it's something that we need to be prepared for. Several leaders across Northern Light Health actually met on Friday, and I had a long discussion with them about our preparedness. Were there things that we felt that, you know, have changed since the last time we had a major surge in the state, or could we use the same processes? And thankfully, we felt very well prepared. We learned a lot of lessons during the last 18 months. That we can put into practice. And so we're comfortable that, you know, as long as we don't see numbers greater than we saw at the height of the pandemic, that we will be well, and we can serve the communities very well, but it is concerning.
Dr. Mills.
You know, yes, I echo everything Jim says. And also we are, just because this will probably get reported out by the state at some point and maybe see it in the news elsewhere around the country. And this is something we're seeing around the country, is that we are seeing some outpatients who are positive for COVID, have tested positive, who are fully vaccinated. And I don't know, Jim, if you're seeing that up your way as well, but it is not unexpected. So there are two major reasons. One is the denominator effect, I'm going to call it, and the other one is the Delta effect. And I'll just explain the denominator effect a little bit. It's easier to draw out, so if kind of bear with me, I'm going to try to explain. If you have 100 people in a town, and 80 are vaccinated and 20 are unvaccinated, and then say Delta comes to town, right? And you've got something that's out of the 20 who are unvaccinated, we don't know how many will contract the disease, but say it's 20 to 100% over a couple of weeks period. We don't know how many, but that would be about 4 to 20. So out of the 20 people, the 20% who are unvaccinated, you'd have about 4 to 20 of them who would become ill with COVID. Out of the 80 who are fully vaccinated, what we know from the UK data, data from the UK, where they're showing that about 20% of people who are fully vaccinated may get infected. They're not getting hospitalized, but they may get infected. And so 20% of those 80 who are fully vaccinated is 16. And the very, very vast majority of them will not require hospitalization and not have severe disease, unlike those who were unvaccinated. And so the vaccines are still showing efficacy. But if you look at the numbers, you have somewhere between 4 and 20 people out of the 20% who are unvaccinated getting infected, and somewhere around 16 or so of the vaccinated who are getting infected, albeit much more mildly. So that's what I call the denominator effect. When your vaccine rates go up really high and the vast majority of people in a community are vaccinated, you're going to start seeing that small proportion of them who might get disease is about the same number as the large proportion of the people who were unvaccinated. So I don't know if it's easier to draw out than explain it on radio, but I think I hope I explained it a little bit to realize that it's about proportion and it's about the denominator. So the vaccines are still very effective. And the other issue is the Delta effect I think we're seeing in that the vaccines are holding up really well against the Delta variant. They're holding up really well for preventing hospitalizations and other severe effects from the COVID disease. And that's from the UK, even their report that just came out yesterday, where they do a lot more sequencing than we do. So they can compare people who get Alpha variant versus Delta variant, for instance. So, but they are showing in the UK that about 1 in 5, or about 20% of people who are fully vaccinated are maybe at risk for contracting the infection, albeit much milder. So it's still effective, but they're contracting infection at higher rates than what we saw with prior variants. So I think we're seeing those two effects, the denominator effect and the Delta effect. So we are seeing outpatients who are fully vaccinated who are contracting what seems like a bad summer cold and sometimes even a little bit more severe disease, but not severe disease. They're not getting hospitalized. But they are getting sick. So you may hear about that. And again, it's still the vaccines are very effective. And we can see that in our own data at Maine Health, where the very vast majority of people who are hospitalized are unvaccinated. And the people who we're seeing who are fully vaccinated, who are contracting the infection, are getting mild disease and they're outpatients only. They're not getting hospitalized.
Sharon, bringing this down to the personal level, and I'll turn to you with this, Dr. Jarvis, hearing about the breakthrough infections and hearing about the Delta variant has people, at least in my circle, saying, you know what, even though I'm vaccinated, I'm going back to wearing a mask. I don't want to get COVID, even if it just means a bad cold. You know, this is summer in Maine, what I live for. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to be sick in July and August and September in Maine. Are you recommending that people maybe go back to wearing a mask if they're headed to the grocery store, headed to the hardware store, going to go to a party and see other people?
That's a great question, Jen. And so for my own patients, particularly those who are immunocompromised because either they're undergoing cancer treatments or they have diabetes or they have some other underlying condition that may make it so that the vaccine isn't as effective as it would be in somebody who's completely healthy, I do recommend that they continue to mask when they are indoors, particularly in public places. But then we have to look at, what is it that we're concerned about? And so, we can talk about that, okay, we're vaccinated, and so if we get it, it's going to be either asymptomatic or mild disease. But that still allows us to transmit that virus to people who are not vaccinated and who may have serious consequences from that. And so we start talking about children then. So right now, we can only vaccinate those who are 12 and above. And so that means people who are under the age of 12, they're at risk for contracting the disease. And even if it's mild disease, it still means that they can't go to school, they can't go to camp, they can't play in sports, they can't do the things that they love. And so just even thinking about protecting those. And then if we start looking at the older population, who in Maine has done a tremendous job about being vaccinated, we have one of the highest rates of vaccination of people over the age of 60 around the country. That's been great. And I think it's really why we're able to say the numbers in our hospitals have remained low is part of that. But we also know they're more likely to have breakthrough infections. And so, if you're not vaccinated and you get sick, mild, but then you're in contact with somebody who is vaccinated but happens to be in their 70s or 80s, you could cause them to have an illness that then is severe enough for them to have untoward consequences. And so really, we need to think about vaccination not only for protection of ourselves, but really that global thought of around our community. Who else are we in contact with? And I defy you to find a Mainer who's not in contact with somebody who's under the age of 12, over the age of 70, or is immunocompromised at least sometime during their weekly daily lives. And so vaccination helps to protect all of those people as well.
And I would just add, Jim, I completely agree with you. And in terms of the masking, we're talking about all of these sort of interchangeably, and somewhat because they are layers of protection, right? So it's vaccination and it's masking. It's looking at a distancing. It's looking at your ventilation and where you are. It's those different layers. And I kind of, I akin it to looking out. You have to watch the weather forecast, right? And you have to know what the weather's going to be before you go outside, you know, how many layers of clothing you need. Hopefully on a day like today, you don't need too many, but you may need an umbrella. You may need a coat in another couple of weeks or maybe tomorrow, knowing that it's Maine. So the thing is, you have to look at the weather forecast to figure out how many layers you want. So the same way, I think we have to kind of get used to figuring, okay, what's happening in our state, in our community, and how many, where am I going to be, who am I going to be encountering? As Jim said, you know, am I going to be encountering people who are maybe immunocompromised, who are too young to get the vaccine? And so how many layers of protection? The vaccine is a fantastic, great layer of protection, but as Dr. Fauci says, it's a fire suit. It doesn't mean you walk into a fire with it. So even if you're vaccinated, there are times when you may want to consider wearing extra layers of protection, like masking, distancing, and making sure you're in a well-ventilated place. And that could mean, you know, a crowded place, a crowded indoor place, particularly if you're immune compromised. The US CDC says you should be wearing all those layers of protection as much as possible. And I also would just add too, that we don't know, even with mild disease, you know, kind of springboarding off from Jim's point about, you know, a lot of us don't really want to get mild COVID. We don't know the rate of long haul COVID with mild disease. So, you know, even though the vaccine is very protective, and you still can get mild disease with it. So especially now with the Delta variant, and we don't know what your chances are getting long haul COVID with mild disease. So I just not take my chance. So I do wear a mask a lot more. I keep it in my pocket. I have it in my bag. I have one in my car. I my litmus test is, do I want to share breathed air with the people I'm going to be encountering? Am I going to be sharing breathed air, and do I want to? And if they're fully vaccinated family members, fine. If they're not immune compromised, but if I'm going into a busy, crowded supermarket, and you know, and I don't know what people's vaccine status is, and I tend to put my mask on.
Colin, yeah, I agree with that, Dora. I also just wanted to say that, you know, also any of us that gets infected, we become the vector for a new variant to occur. So every time that a virus multiplies within our bodies, there's the chance that there will be a mutation occur. And none of us wants to be the cause of the next variant that's worse than the Delta variant that we're dealing with right now. And that's just another reason why we need to protect ourselves and our communities.
I'm going to go to Thomas Judge, who's calling in. Tom Judge is from LifeLight. Nice to hear from you, Tom.
Thanks, Jennifer, and thanks, Dr. Mills and Dr. Jarvis. We just, you know, want to echo what you're already hearing. And this remains a huge concern. I mean, we had, you know, the CDC and Maine EMS, you know, tracks crews that exposed. We had crews exposed this week. So this has not gone away by any means. And while we're really glad to see not having the pressure in our hospitals with so many patients, we are very, very concerned, talking with our colleagues around the country and around the world that are in the sort of the critical care medical transport business, that we are on the edge of this in Maine, and this could get much worse if we don't do the things, just as Dr. Jarvis and Dr. Mills are suggesting, that to really protect ourselves, protect our families, protect the community, you know, and protect those who are taking care of us. You know, every day the healthcare workers, you know, we have to treat every single patient as if they're COVID, you know, COVID positive. And you know, we've seen 2,400 patients since March of last year. Over 60% of them, you know, were COVID or, you know, really concerned being tested.
Yeah. And so, Tom, I want to go back to what you said at the beginning, that you're in LifeLight of Maine. For those of you who do not know, are those medical helicopters that are really the lifeblood of the EMS system throughout the state, especially for people who do not live close to a major hospital. And Tom, so you're saying that just this week, some of your crews were exposed to COVID, and then for the last year and a half, they've always had to treat every patient. So I'm imagining helicopter pilots and paramedics completely suited up.
Absolutely. And we continue to need to do this, because even when we see patients that sometimes have tested negative, they go on, you know, a day later, hours later, we get a call from the hospital that they test positive. And we uniquely see the sickest patients in Maine that need to get to our big hospitals in Maine, need to get to, you know, even sometimes our hospitals in Boston. And we've seen COVID patients from every age, right, from newborns to our oldest citizens. And it just remains a huge concern. So, yeah, everyone is treating every patient as if they're potentially positive. And we're glad that we're making progress. But I think, as Dr. Mills and Dr. Jarvis have said, we're not there yet. We really all need to continue to work together to protect our, you know, ourselves, our families, our communities, and to protect the people that we rely on to take care of us, the EMS, the nurses, the physicians in the hospitals. We don't want them getting sick. We don't want them not to be able there to be there for take care of us. And that's what's happening to our colleagues around the country. So we're very concerned.
Yeah, I do need to go to a break, but I want to ask you quickly, Tom, have any of your crews contracted COVID because of the work that they're doing?
We've been thankfully, and we've, you know, had good measures in place, but we've thankfully had no one get sick from a patient contact. We had one small outbreak that came via Thanksgiving, and I think this shows that family things are still important, but no one has gotten sick, and we haven't, obviously, since no one's gotten sick, we haven't transmitted it to anybody, to any of our patients. So that's really critical, but that's been a lot of work.
Well, terrific. Thank you so much for calling in. That's Thomas Judge from Life Flight of Maine. We do need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Lee Toyota of Topsom, featuring the new lineup of 2021 Toyota hybrid electric cars and SUVs, LeeToyota.com, and Northeast Delta Dental, helping to keep smiles healthy with individual and family dental plans. Learn more at MyOralHealth.com, and Island Housing Trust, building strong communities with year-round workforce housing on Mount Desert Island. Learn more at islandhousingtrust.org.
Help wanted.
We need more people to help with customers, more people to help make the chocolate, more people to help tie little pretty ribbons on boxes.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. We like the sugar rush, so they need a hiring rush. We'll tell you that story next time on Marketplace.
Marketplace is coming up this evening at 6:30 on Maine Public Radio. And Maine Public is a media sponsor of the Midcoast Film Festival. Hosted by the historic Lincoln Theater in Damariscotta, the festival features original films, long and short, narrative and documentary, that are based on true stories or events. The Midcoast Film Festival is happening July 23rd through the 25th. For complete details, please visit mainepublic.org and click on Events.
And welcome back. You're listening to Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and today in the program, we're having a medical update, all the news that keeps unfolding about this pandemic. We're having Dr. James Jarvis from Northern Light Health and Dr. Dora Mills from Maine Health answer some of those questions. So you can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. We'll start with Shelby, who's calling from Saco. Hi, Shelby. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go ahead. Yeah.
Awesome. I've just been a little bit confused around the messaging with masking, because I keep hearing and being concerned about with some of my immune compromised friends that masking doesn't really protect you. It protects other people. So I'm conscious about wearing masks around, more vulnerable people. But a lot of the messaging from the CDC now, where people are considering going back to masking, is that if you're concerned about your own health, to wear a mask and everyone else doesn't really have to. And that does not make sense to me.
Yeah, I'd be happy to take that
one,
Jen.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're right. It is confusing, and that's because we have changed our stance on things as we have learned more. So initially, if you remember, there was the thing about, we didn't want the public to be wearing masks, and a lot of that really had to do with the fact that we didn't have commercially available masks for everybody like we do now. And then we talked about masking and said, yeah, well, when you wear a mask, you're protecting others. That's because we knew that for a fact, that when you wear a mask, that if you're infected and you were to cough, sneeze, yell, sing, that would prevent the spread to somebody else. But now, as over time, and we know more about this virus, we have learned that wearing a mask not only protects you from spreading the virus to somebody else, but also from inhaling the virus that somebody else may be spreading. So we do fully believe now that masking does protect both the wearer and the people around the wearer. So that's good news for all of us. And we have other good data to support that, because if you remember this past year, most people did not get infected with influenza or even other things that cause common colds. In fact, it was probably one of the most mild winters we can think of if you took COVID out of the picture when it comes to respiratory diseases. And that's directly related to the fact that people were wearing masks and they were being socially distanced during that time frame. Like, obviously, there's new confusions now about who should mask and who shouldn't mask. And it's confusing because how do I know who's vaccinated and who's not vaccinated? We don't have a V stitched onto the top of our head. And then that becomes when I talk about people wearing masks. Do what makes you feel comfortable. If you feel more comfortable wearing a mask when you're in a public setting, particularly an indoor public setting where you don't know everyone, go ahead and wear your mask. And if you're somebody who isn't wearing a mask, please don't ridicule or point out the people that are. You have no idea what their health history is and the reasons why they feel they need to be protected. I'll use a great example. When my daughter was going through cancer treatments, we would board a plane and my family would wipe every surface down with sanitizing wipes. And people would kind of look at us, and if they'd ask, we'd say, well, you know, we have a daughter with cancer. We can't risk anything getting in. Nowadays, if you go into if you're on an airplane and you don't wipe things down, you're probably the one that people look at. But again, you don't know what people's health history is. If they're wearing a mask, they're probably doing it for a very good reason. You should support them in doing it. And if people feel more comfortable wearing a mask, wear a mask. There's so many out there, lots of styles, fit with just about every outfit now.
Shelby, thanks for your call. A related question here. This one's from Marianne on Facebook. Can you provide info on breakthrough cases? I am vaccinated, as is everyone I know, except children. I will be providing childcare in the fall for the grandchildren and want to know what risks there are. I really don't want to go back to wearing masks in our home. Dr. Mills.
That is a great question, which is another way of saying we don't fully know all the answers to that, and particularly what's going to happen in the fall. So the place that does the most, the country that does the most sequencing of the virus and links that sequencing results to clinical patients is actually the UK. United Kingdom. And so we have we have the most data from them. They sequence about 12% of all of their their samples. The US is still only sequencing less than 1% or about 1%. So, and we're doing it for tracking purposes in the US, meaning epidemiological purposes. We're not linking them to specific patients. So unfortunately, we don't have a lot of information from the US so much. But from the UK, which puts out a weekly report that's very good and easy to read, and what they're showing is that the current vaccines, and they have the Pfizer, Moderna, and they have AstraZeneca, which is very similar to our J&J vaccine. So what they're showing is the vaccines are very effective, again, against protecting against hospitalizations with the Delta variant. But it's about 79% effective. Those vaccines are 79% effective against mild disease. That is disease that doesn't require hospitalizations. So 79% is close to 80, which is about, you know, 4/5. So there's 1/5, again, from the recent UK data, about 1/5 of the people who are fully vaccinated could be susceptible to the Delta variant. Even if they're fully vaccinated. So we don't know. It's emerging data. It's nascent. We'll know a lot more in the next few weeks. And again, it's still not showing 96% efficacy, those vaccines are, against the Delta variant causing hospitalizations. But so it's, if you are in a category, you're going to be taking care of young children. I don't know how young they are, but if they're old enough to get vaccinated, if they're 12 and older, please get them vaccinated. Obviously, that's the first thing. But if they're younger than that, then you're going to have some choices. And there'll be probably better guidance over the next few weeks as we know more. Again, the knowledge is so emerging, particularly on the Delta variant. But you may want to be masking around them, particularly if you yourself may be in a category at higher risk for more severe disease. If you're an older person, older 65, you have other chronic underlying illnesses. But the transmissibility is higher. If your grandkids aren't being out and about with other kids very much or out in public very much, then it maybe the risk is going to be low enough that you're going to be okay to not mask. So again, I would stay tuned, keep an eye on the, you know, what's going to be hopefully in the news and for guidance from US CDC on daycare. It is emerging, as Jim said, we just every week there's new knowledge that we learn. I can give you two quick examples. One is I have two kids, two siblings, not my siblings, but they're siblings of each other who are in my extended family who are very young. They're 2 and 5, too young to be vaccinated. I'm around them a fair amount during the summer. We're mainly outdoors when I'm around them. They're not interacting with other kids and other people very much, just their immediate family. So I don't mask around them. They don't mask around me. We're outside. Their exposure is pretty low to other people. I have two other siblings, again, not my siblings, but siblings of each other who are in my extended family, who are two boys who were late in elementary school. They are in every single, you know, kind of after school, after summer activity, you can imagine sports and theater camp and this and that. They're around lots of other kids and they're too young to be vaccinated. I mask around them. They mask around me because they're around so many other kids that I and other people that I just feel like there's just enough risk there. And they're not that, and they can't be vaccinated yet. So those are two situations and similar, but I do something different. I mask with one and with two of the kids and I don't mask with the two other kids. So it's gonna have to be like, I think we're gonna get used to this a bit, trying to figure out what is the right choice for you and your situation and given what's happening in your community, but it's taking a while. And I would stay tuned to the US CDC for their guidance as well.
We're going to go to Becky calling from Westbrook. Hi, Becky. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question for either Dor or Dr. Jarvis. What your thoughts are on the UK opting not to vaccinate most under 18 against COVID. It came out on Monday and said just that children as young as 12 with severe disabilities should, but they felt the decision to hold off giving shots was based on the recommendation of an expert advisory panel, and they felt that the benefits of vaccination don't outweigh the risk for most young people going that they typically only have mild symptoms of the virus. And so as a school nurse, I'm thinking about more about transmission from those students, that age group, and what kind of impact will this UK news have on us?
Sure, Becky, and thank you for being a school nurse and the work that you do. Dr. Jarvis, I'll give this one to you.
Yeah, so I haven't seen that particular report out yet, but you know, remember that we have to think about what's different between other nations and the United States and even Maine and other states within the United States. And so one, the UK has different access to vaccines and a different vaccine than we have here in the US. Particularly, they're using the AstraZeneca vaccine as one of their predominant ways of doing vaccines, which we know does have some concerns to it that in particular the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine do not have. So when you talk about a safety profile, you really have to look at the big picture. And so looking at that bigger picture, you know, we feel very comfortable that the Pfizer vaccine, which is the one that's approved for people from age of 12 to age 18, that it is safe in that particular age category. We know there are some risks that we have to consider with particular individuals, and those should always be discussed with whoever's providing the vaccine. And I recommend that anybody who has concerns reach out to their primary care provider or some other health expert to get those answers. But we are a little bit different. I know we always talk about, we look around the world and see what's happening there. In the United States, we're also very lucky that we have more vaccine than if we were to vaccinate every single person in the United States, and that includes those who are right now not eligible to vaccinate. So it's a different consideration than other nations have when it comes to their vaccine rollout program. We're fortunate in the United States, we can offer vaccine to everybody, and anybody who's eligible can get the vaccine now and should be able to do so in a very convenient way with the numbers that we have and the distribution model that we have for vaccinating. So that's kind of where some of that difference will come in. I'm sure that's going to be a decision that everybody's going to have to make in those kind of discussions. But right now in the United States, we certainly recommend that anybody 12 and older be vaccinated.
I agree with Jim. I also just going to quickly say that I think that the UK panel, part of the reason is that the clinical trials for younger kids are still underway as they are in the US. So even though they made more of a blanket statement of under 18, they also, I think, cited the fact that the clinical trials are still underway. Right now we know that this Delta variant is so much more transmissible than the prior variants. And so your risks of getting the disease are so much higher now than they were even a year ago. So vaccine is something I would highly recommend for anybody 12 and older.
So more of your questions and comments for our doctors when we come back, but we are going to take another quick break. This is Maine Calling.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from St. Mary's Health System, accepting new primary care patients in Lewiston, Auburn, and Poland. stmarysmaine.com/primarycare. And the Dexter Group of Alex Brown, investment advisory and asset management services since 1995, in Portland and at thedextergroup.us. And A Family for Me, a Spurwink program committed to raising awareness for the need of foster and adoptive parents. Learn more at familyformemaine.org.
I'm Robin Young. A decade ago, a Canadian man traded a paperclip for an item of higher value and kept going until he ended up with a house. Trading up, bartering. We'll talk to two students trying to pay off their loans.
It quickly just kept escalating, went to a snowboard, a smart thermostat, to an Apple HomePod, and then a Canon camera bundle.
Next time, Here and Now.
You can hear Here and Now today at noon on Maine Public Radio. Are you ready to explore Maine this summer? Maine Public wants to help. Our Summer Breeze Selfie Challenge will direct you to fun spots throughout vacation land. We've placed Summer Breeze signs from Wells to Presque Isle. Simply take a selfie in front of a Summer Breeze sign, post it to social media using the hashtag SummerBreezeMe, and you'll be entered into a drawing to win some great summer prizes. Visit mainepublic.org for all of the details, or stop by a service plaza on the Maine Turnpike and pick up your Summer Breeze location. Finder.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. My guests today are Dr. Dora Mills with Maine Health and Dr. Jim Jarvis with Northern Light Health. Both physicians are with us to answer your questions about vaccines, the Delta variant, masking, and more. And our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Joanne, who is calling from Harrison. Hi, Joanne. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you all for this wonderful program that's certainly much needed. I'm a registered nurse, not working clinically. I've had long-term COVID for 18 months. We have a tremendous problem with people not willing to be following the masking. And thank you, Dr. Jarvis, for supporting, to confirm that it's needed. For instance, the post office, a sign outside, mask, wear your mask. People are not wearing their mask. And when you ask them to, they say, I've been vaccinated. So I'm hoping that the CDC will put out more information to the public regarding breakthrough infections of the Delta variant, even though they're vaccinated. And secondly, I'm a little concerned, would like some confirmation, that I've heard that Maine Medical Center staff, doctors and nurses, are not required to be vaccinated. So I'm concerned if you get admitted, then you run the risk of maybe getting a Delta variant from the people that are actually taking care of you.
Dr. Mills.
Sure. No hospital in Maine yet has required a vaccine of all their workers. And so this is something the Maine Hospital Association is looking into and has been public about it. And I know Jim and I and others are in conversation. I will say that 86 to 87% of our staff, our healthcare workers at any workers at Maine Medical Center are fully vaccinated. So that's the good news. And we also, everybody is masked, and you are required in a healthcare setting to be fully masked. And I know that's the case at Eastern Maine Medical Center and others at Northern Light Health as well. So there are layers of protection. Again, the vaccine is, you know, is the fire suit that we all want to have. And there are other hospitals around the country that are starting to mandate it amongst their workers. So many of them are waiting also until it's fully approved by the FDA, until the vaccines are fully approved. So it's a work in progress, I should say. And just, you know, we don't, work in process. We just don't, you know, it's no firm decision has been made yet. But I think across the country, these decisions, these discussions are happening. And then in terms of the first issue, yeah, I agree that the it is a friend of mine who lives in rural Maine was sharing with me recently that when she goes into the supermarket or the post office or wherever, she is fully vaccinated. She masks, because she doesn't want to get even mild disease. And I'm so sorry about your long-term COVID that you've got and long haul COVID. And it is, it's something that, again, another reason to maybe to mask for people to mask. She was telling me how she goes into places like that. And she knows everybody, you know, it's a small town. And she said, it's ironic that she sees people who are masked and she knows that people who are masked are most likely vaccinated or she knows they're vaccinated. And then she sees people who are unmasked and she thinks, you know, I don't think they're vaccinated from what I know. She knows some of them are kind of anti-vaccine or anti-mask, I guess. And she says, it's just kind of odd that the advice is mask if you're unvaccinated and don't need a mask if you're vaccinated. But what she sees is kind of the opposite happening. And I think that is one reason why some people have said, and many of us have said, you know, I don't know. I really don't know the vaccine status of people when I go into a crowded supermarket. Do I want to share their breathed air? No. And so I'm going to put that extra layer of protection, even though I've got the vaccine, I'm going to put the mask on. Masking doesn't bother me at all. I'm so used to it. So I'll put the mask on, especially if it's crowded and indoors. So I think we're just kind of all getting used to figuring out what makes sense, as Jim said, you know, what makes sense for us as individuals and for our community. And it's like watching the weather and figuring out, okay, do I need an umbrella today? And sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't.
Joanne, thanks so much for your call and good luck to you. And thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm going to go here to Anne. Anne writes, this is an email. I'm very disturbed by the news of COVID-19 outbreaks in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, especially Provincetown. It was reported by the Boston Globe that even vaccinated people are getting COVID. What advice do you have for shops and restaurants in Maine that cater to the busy tourist season? Jim Jarvis, I'm a shop owner in Bar Harbor. What do I do?
Yeah, so my advice is don't let your guard down. You know, one, I think you need to be supportive of your own staff. And if they need time to go and get vaccinated, support them in getting vaccinated. If you're a large enough place and you would like to have a vaccine clinic on site, reach out to one of the health systems or the Maine CDC and ask if they can provide that for you. So that's one. Continue to make sure that you're screening your workers, just asking, checking in with them, making sure that they are well, and not allowing patrons to come into your facility who are not feeling well. Put signage up that says that. As far as requiring masks or something like that, that's going to be an individual decision, and I'm not a labor relations or a economic development lawyer, and so I caution any advice on that regard to reach out to the appropriate individuals. But you know, again, it's like we're talking about with your own personal choices, you need to do that for your businesses as well. I still caution everybody, we need to take care of each other, and we need to take care of our businesses, our schools, and every other enterprise that we have across the state of Maine.
We're going to go to David calling from Yarmouth. Hi, David, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of questions, if I may. I'm very interested to hear your descriptions of breakthrough cases and the potential incidents of them. The data on the U.S. CDC site seems to indicate very, very little remote chance of breakthrough cases, and I realize the data is changing. But is it fair to say that what you're describing is a substantial change in the incidence of breakthrough cases as a result of the Delta variant? So that's my first question. I'd just like to hear your comments about that, and I'll just state my second question as well. I'm really interested in what the definition of immune compromised is. For example, I take Humira for an arthritic condition, which is a mild suppression of my immune system. Is someone taking a medication like that considered to be immune compromised? Thanks very much.
Good questions. Thank you. Dr. Mills.
Yes, it is confusing. I agree, especially as the data just changes continuously. So the data I cited are from the UK. And it is, and I could probably go on maybe public radio's main public's Facebook page and put a link to it. But anyway, it's a change, but it's not huge. So what they showed was with the Alpha variant, which is different than, you know, is the B117, which is different than the strains we saw last fall and summer. So with the Alpha variant, they saw about 89% efficacy in terms of preventing the vaccines that they have in the UK, Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca, which is like J&J, is about 89% efficacy against any symptomatic infection. So, and then with the Delta variant, it's 79%. So it's basically about 90% and about 80%. So it's about a 10% decrease in efficacy against any infection with symptoms. The vast majority of those are mild infections. It does show those, the Delta variant is showing, as I mentioned before, 96% efficacy of those vaccines against hospitalization and other forms of severe disease from COVID with the Delta variant. So the vaccines are in the UK are holding up in terms of efficacy against severe disease, but there is a slightly, you know, bigger chance of getting the, at least there, the Delta variant infection than the Alpha variant. So, and even from the Delta variant, from the variants of last fall, there was an increased chance. So there's been kind of a graduated increased chance of getting infected, even if you're fully vaccinated, albeit mildly. So that's that. I think I answered that question. And then the second one is immune compromise. First and foremost, you should talk to your doctor about that. The US CDC, if you go on their recommendations, they have expanded immune compromise definitions a little bit in the last several days. So they talk about immunocompromised people, including people who are receiving chemotherapy for cancer, people with hematological or blood cancers, such as chronic lymphocytic leukemia, people receiving stem cells or organ transplants, people receiving hemodialysis, and people using certain medications that might blunt the immune response to vaccination. And they mention a whole lot of them. So, and I can't quite see if Humira is on there or not. I'm just trying to read it, read from the US CDC. So they just did expand the definition of immune compromise. So Humira, if you're taking it chronically, might be on that list. I think your best bet is to check with your own physician and also to check the US CDC. If you kind of Google US CDC COVID recommendations, fully vaccinated, immunocompromised, you put those kinds of words in there, it should come up.
Okay, David, good luck to you. And thank you for your question. We're almost out of time and I have so many questions coming in. So I'm going to try to pick up the pace here. Karen on Facebook asks, I had the J&J vaccine. Should I get revaccinated? Dr. Jarvis, that's one of the big questions of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, especially because there was some press out there recently that talked about the efficacy of Johnson & Johnson against the Delta variant in comparison to the others. Right now in the United States, the three vaccines that have emergency use authorization, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, we do not recommend that individuals get any kind of booster shot at this time. As Dora said, that might change tomorrow, but as of today, right now, we are not recommending that. I think it's something that needs to be followed, and those people who did get Johnson & Johnson have to, you know, keep their ears up listening to see whether or not that recommendation changes. But right now, we're not recommending anybody who's been fully vaccinated get anything different than than their original shots.
All right. We'll go to Kate calling from Kennebunk. Hi, Kate. Go ahead.
Hi. My questions have been answered to a degree. I called to make my mammogram appointment. It was a follow-up to a kind of debatable mammogram. I was told, and I said, will my technician be vaccinated? I assume everyone there is. And I was told that the person on the phone was, but that she couldn't vouch for others because a number of healthcare workers hadn't chosen to be vaccinated. Now, any woman knows how close you are to somebody when you're having a mammogram. And at the time, I wasn't fully vaccinated. I hadn't come up on the list yet. I wasn't comfortable with it. And she said many people had called and asked that same question. And I kind of feel that if a person isn't a believer enough in science to be vaccinated, then I don't want them so close to me doing my mammogram.
Oh, gosh, Kate, I'm sure you're not alone. And I'll just very quickly send that to you, Dora. We, again, tight on time, trying to get some questions in. But what is the logic against not requiring it?
Well, it is again, there are discussions underway. So, and Jim and I are both part of those discussions. So there are and many others across the country, around the country, this is something that's being discussed. No hospital or health system in Maine has required it yet. But we are starting to see that in other parts of the country. So again, you know, that's today. Things may change. We don't know in the next days or weeks. But I do, I would say, you know, it's a similar when I go to my hairdresser. I do appreciate that she requires masking of customers and her and her staff. So you do have that double layer protection because in healthcare systems, in healthcare facilities of any type, everybody is required to mask, patients and people who are the workers there. So you do have that double layer protection and you're not close together for too long,
sure,
which is nice. It doesn't hopefully take 15 minutes. Whereas, you know, a hairdresser, it's even more so, and they're not required. So I appreciate that I'm there longer than 15 minutes and we're both masked and I do feel protected that way. And she's also fully vaccinated, so that's helpful.
Yeah.
But I think even if they're not fully vaccinated, you've got the double layer protection of masking. But again, lots of stay tuned.
Thanks. And thanks for your question, Kate. We'll quickly go to Marsha, who's calling from Rochester, New Hampshire. Hi, Marsha. Go ahead. Quickly, please.
Yes. I had never heard this until I just found out a relative had, I don't know the pronunciation, Guillain-Barré syndrome with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And
yeah, Marsha, I know of someone as well. Dr. Jarvis, this is something that's rare, but when it happens, it's scary, right?
Correct. So Guillain-Barré is a neurologic condition that can result in typically self-limited paralysis or numbness in extremities, but it can be severe and certainly can cause long-term consequences. And unfortunately, some people have died from it. It has been associated with vaccination in the past. But it is incredibly rare. And when we look at a risk analysis, and that's what we have to do with everything we do in medicine, we still feel that even though there might be this risk with certain vaccines of causing Guillain-Barré, that the risk of the disease is far worse. And in fact, it looks like Guillain-Barré may be more associated with the disease than it is with the vaccine. And so, again, it's a risk, and we need to be aware of that. And as physicians and providers, we need to be aware, but vaccine is still safer than that risk provides us.
Sure, Marsha, thank you for your call. The last call for the hour. Every time you are both on, so many questions. We really appreciate your time. That is Dr. Jim Jarvis, the Senior Physician Executive and System Incident Command at Northern Light Health, and Dr. Dora Mills, Chief Health Improvement Officer at Maine Health. Today's sound engineer was Stella Marr. She was doing the board with KJ Keen Moladun, and we appreciate that. Our producers, Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow in the program, we take a listen back to our earlier interview with NPR's host of Hidden Brain, Shankar Vedantam. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.